remind you that we have a group from our Clarion Church going to the Philippines this week. And so they're getting on a plane on Thursday. And so you could be remembering to pray for them at that time. A little bit of a different trip. Instead of, a lot of times they would go to Japan and then jump to the Philippines. Well, they're going to fly to San Francisco and then all the way to the Philippines from there. So as you may have heard me say before, the Philippines is on the other side of the globe. And so that's a long, long trip in an airplane. And so if you could just spend a moment right now, we'll pray for them. If any of you want to pray out, I'll be quiet here. And just pray for this team. Pray for unity. Pray for good travels. Pray for the ministry as they're there. They're probably going to be doing construction and teaching and working with the kids and the street kids and in the orphanage that we've been part of as well. So if you'd like to go ahead and pray out, and I'll close this in a minute. So let's pray for this team. Yes, God, we thank you for our brothers and sisters who are heading over for a long trip on a plane, and we just pray that you would bind them together, bind their hearts together. There are times when tempers and patience could get short, so we pray that you remind them to be full of your spirit, to represent you well in all their interactions with all the various people that they encounter. And Lord, we just pray for strength. We pray for just a renewed heart and mind as they will be tired when they arrive, and that you will refresh them. Lord, also just for, I know it's going to be getting hot there and very, very humid. And just pray for their, again, their ability to speak for you and to represent you and to be flexible. I know that's often in a missions trip, their plans change, and help them to just roll with those punches however they come up, and pray this in your name. Amen. Thank you. And again, remember them on Thursday as they head out. We are, or have been, in a season where we're in the book of Galatians, but we've also done something a little bit different this year, where we've taken a little pause, we've taken a little break to cover what is called the Feast of the Old Testament. And today is the last one we're going to do for the year. We've gone through all the other feasts, and this is the last one. And it's called the Feast of Booths, or Feast of Tents, or of Tabernacles. It just depends on your Bible translation. I'll probably use all three of those words. But it really is a week-long feast where they camp. Any campers? You just love going camping? Okay. That's kind of our vacation of choice. We do that quite a bit. What I like to do is to have like a base camp, you know, where you have all your stuff. I like to do Dutch oven cooking and so forth. And, you know, those are obviously big and heavy. So it's not like a backpacking kind of camping, because I don't want to be hauling cast iron, right, in a backpack. But I like having everything set up there and, a big cooler. And then we go off and do day trips and various hikes or fish or whatever it might be on those. Then there are people that glamp. Any glampers? Yeah, it's so nice. It's like really being at a five-star hotel. And some people like that. I have to admit, there's a couple things I really like that if we have room for, I bring. One is the bugs tent, so you could eat without all the bugs bugging you. And then the other thing, and this is just as I've gotten older, I really love that inflatable mattress. They're double thick and all that, so I can not, I don't sleep on the ground anymore. It just doesn't happen. But, the thing with camping is everything takes longer. Everything's a little more, You know, take just a little more work, a little more planning. You know, when we're at home and you're doing the dishes and you throw them in the dishwasher, press start, and you leave them. Well, you know, when you're camping, you got to find the running water and maybe, you know, and it's kind of an ordeal to take care of all those things. It's harder. It's less convenient. Or it could be cooking or bathing or even waking up in the middle of the night and you got to go to the restroom. It's like, okay, now I got to find my flashlight and hopefully don't meet anything along the way, like, you know, a bear or something like that. But imagine living in a tent for 40 years, right? 40 years. Now, the tents obviously were different back then. A lot of, you know, different poles, wood poles, made with animal skins and so forth. We have a really nice tent that pops up. One person can set it up. It pops up in about 20 minutes. And it's very sturdy. But imagine living like that all the time. All that inconvenience. And not just that. Imagine you're a family. You're a young family. You got little kids. You have sheep and goats that you have to tend to as well. They're traveling with you in and amongst your tent for 40 years. The original Exodus was meant to be 2 years. God brought them out of Egypt. They were going to travel for 2 years and go into the land God promised their great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Abraham, and they were going to settle. Well, unfortunately, they rebelled. They wanted to turn around and go back to Egypt, and that's where they had to wander for 40 years. And we read about this. They get the instructions for this particular feast while they are wandering, but they're not going to start doing it until later, to the book of Joshua, where they actually settle down in the land. And again, it's called the Feast of Booths, or of Tabernacles, or of Tents. And this is just one of those holy days, holy times, where God told them to do, largely to remember. A tent is a temporary structure. It's simple, it's mobile, it's flimsy. But God wanted them to remember this generation. There's no Holiday Inn, there's no hotels or anything, or even buildings or places where they could live. But it's a week-long, actually 8-day celebration where they would leave their homes and go tent, go live that way, go camp out there, just to have a similar experience as their ancestors did. God wants us to remember what He has done and will do in the future. God wants us to remember what He has done and will do in the future. Let me just read you the basic instructions for this festival, all right? It's in the book of Leviticus, and then we'll cover some other things because this is one of those feasts that really declares a lot of things about Jesus. Leviticus 23 says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of this seventh month and for 7 days is the Feast of Booths, to the Lord. On the first day shall be a holy convocation." That's an assembly. "You shall not do any ordinary work. For 7 days you shall present food offerings to the Lord. On the 8th day you shall hold a holy convocation and present food offering to the Lord. It is a solemn assembly. You shall not do any ordinary work." And then you jump down a few verses and God says, continue speaking, "You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generation," here's the purpose, "may know that I made the people of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord. I am Yahweh your God." All right, so again, the purpose, remember. Like a lot of the feasts that they did, even especially the one of Passover. We covered this way back, I think, in the winter, where that was the last plague, the 10 plagues of Israel, and the Passover was where they were supposed to have that special meal, and they were supposed to put the blood on their doorpost, And for the very first one, while they were in Egypt, the destroyer would pass over their home. And that's where that came, the word comes from. But they were supposed to remember that day every year. Remember what God had did. Remember that God brought them out of slavery. God took them out of a very difficult situation, and then they crossed the Red Sea. But just practically, they had to travel in tents. Inconvenient, unsettled, raising their kids, preparing food, all these different things they would have to do just to exist and to live. They were also supposed to remember not just the good things, not just the miraculous things, but they had to remember some of the bad news, some of the things that their ancestors did, their disobedience, and use that as a warning. This also became, obviously, a teaching lesson for their kids. Okay, kids, it's time for the Feast of Booths. Dad, why do we do this? What's the point? Well, so we could remember. We could remember what it was like for our ancestors to do this for 40 years. I don't know if you've ever taken a really long camping trip. It's like maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and you're kind of done camping. Yeah, that's maybe how they felt. But God has remembered all along through their sacrifices in that generation what he has done and what he will do in the future. So what did he do for them? What were the things they were supposed to remember? If you want to read more about this, if you could look at Psalm 105 and 106. Don't do it right now. But later on, if you want to read those psalms, you can get a little more another expression of what happened for them. Well, they had to remember a lot of things. The big one is the Red Sea. And we've talked about crossing the Red Sea before, but that was a watershed moment. That was when they had to say, this is such an important event. We're going to kind of bring it up a lot in our future. The people who crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, and then to see the Egyptians perish and all that, that was a big, big deal. It's a huge miracle for them. And so they had to remember that what God did for them. Well, what about food? What about water? We're talking a lot of people. How are they going to eat? And this was on one hand, it was one of the negative times they were complaining. God, we're hungry. You always like it when your kids said that, when there's food filled in the house. There's nothing to eat. I'm hungry. Now, they were complaining about the food. But again, it was hard. It was hard to make all that stuff every single day. God sent them manna. Every day the manna was there. It was a daily miracle. It wasn't just a one-time thing and there was manna. There was manna every single day. Well, let me clarify. 6 days, and then the seventh day, their Sabbath, their day of rest, there was no manna. But even the laws about manna were miraculous. God said, look, take whatever manna you want to take, but don't save it overnight. If you do, it'll rot. And sure enough, it rotted. Some people didn't listen to God. But then on that sixth day, God said, so you can rest, take double what you need on day number six, and I'll prevent it from rotting on day seven. Well, that happened too. And some people, again, still didn't listen. They went out on day seven when they're supposed to be resting. Come on, listen. Even the laws about manna were a miracle. And so they were given this opportunity to see God provide every single day. What about water? How are you going to get water for all these people? Well, God provided multiple times where they would be able to water not just themselves, but their livestock as well. Got tired of manna? How many different ways can you cook manna? Well, they exhausted those. God also gave them quail and other ways, gave them military victories. There's times where they're going to be walking through an area and they're gonna make a mess. I mean, do you ever notice the park after the Shakora gun raffle? Now, everything's trampled down. You could tell a lot of people were there. Well, if you're a country and all this whole nation's coming through, that was grounds for some conflicts. But God gave them military victory. And then finally, he gave them the law, the first five books of the Old Testament, Genesis through Deuteronomy, dictated by God through Moses and also recording of their history. At the very end of this time, Moses is giving a speech, and that's largely what we call the book of Deuteronomy. He reminds them of one other thing. He says, I have led you for 40 years in this wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandals have not worn off your feet. Another provision, another miraculous thing by God. Imagine them saying, you know what? He's right. And this was before Walmart and Boss Cobbs and all that. Clothes were very expensive and hard to keep up. But God preserved those as well. So that was their past. They were supposed to remember. Let's change our view here a little bit. I'm going to read you a longer section, but it's from the book of Zechariah. Now, we covered Zechariah last March and in March and April. But there's another celebration of this feast for the future, not just their future, for our future. And in Zechariah 14, just hang with this and we'll go back and discuss it. Then everyone who survives of all the nations that have come against Jerusalem shall go up year after year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of booths. There it is. And if any of the families of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, there will be no rain on them. And they're going to repeat this. And if the family of Egypt does not go up and present themselves, then on them there shall be no rain. There shall be the plague with which the Lord afflicts the nations that do not go up to the Feast of Booths. This shall be the punishment to Egypt and the punishment to all the nations that do not go up to the Feast of Booths. Okay, what's he mean? When does this happen that all the nations are going to gather? First of all, we got to remember it's significant that it's not just Israel now. The command I read to you earlier from Leviticus, that was for Israel and before the cross. But God says there's going to be a day when all the nations will celebrate this. For what purpose? Same purpose, remember. To remember what God has done. No one can say exactly when this festival will happen, but it's probably going to be in what we call the millennium, where Jesus is reigning on earth. Before there's a new heaven and new earth, the nations will come together and celebrate. An international gathering will worship him. Now, so you think, okay, great, Feast of Booths. It also has to do with Jesus. Like, well, how? Why? Well, let's look at a couple different things. Remember, this word doesn't just mean tent. Because again, when we think tent, we think like camping with those poles that always break, right? But for them, a tent could be very, very extravagant. We used to have a tent. A friend of ours worked actually for a tent company. And it was so big and amazing. When people would walk by our campground, they would do this. Where did they get that tent? It was huge. It was like 2.5 tents sewn together. And it was plenty of room for my wife and I and our three kids and luggage. And it was unfortunate, but it was a big, big deal to set that thing up and move it around. You got to remember, when they're setting up their tents, it's not just this temporary structure, although it was that as well. What about tents in the Bible, and what does it have to do with the Lord? Well, John 1:14 talks about Jesus. And it said, the word, and here's, follow this real quick. in this first chapter of John, when it uses the word, okay, capital W, it means Jesus. It means Jesus. And the word, that is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. He dwelled among us. That word, dwelled, could be translated as he tabernacled, he tented among us. The Word of God teaches that Jesus wasn't just a really nice guy. He wasn't just a very special teacher. He was the Son of God. His home wasn't this earth, although he created it. He came and tented among us. Some other English translations will actually say, NIV says, made his dwelling. The Amplified Version said he became flesh and tabernacled, or literally fixed his tent in flesh. The Message Bible, I kind of like this one, says he moved into the neighborhood. He lived among us. And it's also a reference to the tabernacle that God commanded them to live. Because not only did they live in tents as people, but God had them make a tent to represent his presence. And again, a lot of extensive directions on this particular tent that God made for them. When they were traveling in Israel, or to Israel, I should say, they had what's called the tabernacle, a tent. Very elaborate tent, but it was a tent. It was made to be portable. It was designed as being portable. And God's presence would be shown there. And it's a little hard to understand, and I'll show you an illustration in a minute. But you think, well, isn't God everywhere anyway? So what do you mean he was tented there, his presence was there? Here's the example. God is a lot, in fact, we're told God is light. He's light. He's also like light. Is there light in this room? Can you see? Right? You could see. So in the sense, the light is everywhere. But I got this little flashlight. I don't know how strong this is. Can you see this light on that wall? Now I'll put it for you folks. You see it over there on that wall? There's still light everywhere, but for a moment I'm focusing another beam, another part of light in a very specific area. So when God says my presence is on the tabernacle, it's going to be seen, it's not that he's just there. You know, we say we can only be at two places at once, or one. We can't be at two places at once. You can only be at one place at once. But God is everywhere. But there are times in the Word where he focused his presence. He did that with the tabernacle with Israel. His glory was there. And it was a very exclusive place where only the priest can enter once. Later on in the book of Hebrews, it talks more about this tabernacle that's in heaven. So God was in their presence during the Old Testament time. But now with Jesus, he's there again. God the Son is there, living, tabernacling among us. Well, in Jesus' lifetime, quite often actually, there was the Feast of Booths. John records it, part of this. On the last day of the feast, this is in John 7, he's talking about the Feast of Booths. How do I know that? Because earlier in the chapter, it tells us. The great day, so this is the last day of it, the big gathering. Jesus stood out and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit whom those who believed in him were given to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not yet been given, because Jesus was not glorified. Remember, John is writing this gospel years after the cross, years after the resurrection. When they first heard Jesus say, out of you will flow rivers of living water, they didn't quite understand it that moment. But later on, as John, who's been living through the book of Acts, seeing the Holy Spirit come upon people, that's what he meant. And so in this era, in this time, God the Holy Spirit is tabernacling, living within individual Christians and also within what we call the church, within a group of people, a new temple. And Jesus said, look, if you thirst, come to me, believe. I will give you deep, satisfying water. And he's being spiritual or figurative here, but also very real. Everyone has stuff. They have hurt. And we read the news. We hear of just awful, awful things people are doing to each other. Last week I was in York, Pennsylvania, where three police officers just lost their lives. The town was in mourning. And then we look at ourselves, and we look at the stuff that we've done, that we've said, or that were done and said to us, and we all got this hurt, this ache. Blaise Pascal said, every human being has a God-shaped vacuum. And people try to fill it with different things. They try to fill it with maybe money, or they fill it with their job, or they fill it with good things like family, or they try to fill it with things like drugs and alcohol or entertainment or whatever it might be. They're just trying to fill that hole, and it doesn't fill. Jesus said, I'm the one that fills that. He's the one. Come, let me live among you. Let me tabernacle among you. And you will have that experience of deep, satisfying draughts of water when you're really, really thirsty. It's a renewed life. Christianity is not about following rules. That's what we've been learning in the book of Galatians. It's not just religion. It's a whole new life. It's made possible by God living in us, settled at home, living as we are meant to be right with God again. Hebrews discusses the concept, the book of Hebrews discusses the concept of rest in chapters 3 and 4, if you want to read that later. So what does this mean for us today? We're not going to celebrate the Feast of Booths. Again, that was for Israel. That was for another time. That was before the cross. But what can we learn from it? First of all, does he dwell with you? Does he dwell with you? Jesus said, whoever believes in him. Believe what about him? That he existed? Well, Jesus came to give a sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. Because we got two big problems. One is sin. One is nobody's perfect. The second problem we have is death. We're all going to die. What's the answer? Jesus said, I paid the price for your sin so that you might not have to die. And we'll die physically, but to live with forever. So now we're going to tabernacle. Those who are believing in Christ now go and tabernacle to live with God forever and ever. Some people wait. Some people put it off. I don't know why. And a lot of people say, boy, they finally come to the point where they say, I'm going to believe in Christ. I'm going to follow him. And then they go, why did I wait? It happens all the time. Why did I wait? You don't have to wait. It could be today. It could be this morning. Why not tell others? Why not let them know through baptism or a friend or a relative, you know what, today's the day I put my faith in Christ. That you know that now he dwells with you. The other thing is to think about is anyone who might be living in a tent. Admit that you can't pay for your own sins. You can't be good enough for God to accept you. You have to agree to say Jesus is good enough. How many times I hear someone say, well, I'm a good person. God will accept me. No one is. No one's good enough. But Jesus said, I got you covered. I got you covered. You can trust. You can believe in that. A lot of people want to keep God at arm's length. But he says, no, I want to dwell with you. But we can be understandably afraid of him. In fact, one of my favorite C.S. Lewis quotes talking about the Lord, he says, he's not safe, but he's good. He's not safe, but he's good. And we can grow and be intimate to know him well. Other things, remember, why did they do this? To remember. They were supposed to remember their past, both as a nation and individually. Well, how has God provided or healed or encouraged you in the past? Use the same principle. Recall those times. What do you have? We used to in the old church days, we call it word of testimony. Someone had a word of testimony. You're just trying to tell what God has done in their life. And some of you have seen this in our homes. We have a big basket full of rocks with stuff written on them. Those are our testimonies. Those are the things that we remember. What was a hopeless situation? You didn't see any way out. You didn't see a solution for this. But now looking back, you say, look what God did. Boy, we should be encouraging each other with those stories. Recall it to yourself. Recall it for us. And finally, we got to look to the future. We read from Zechariah that whole time when all the nations will be celebrating that Feast of Booths. But Jesus is coming back. First time he came, he tabernacled, he tented among us. But when he comes back again, he's going to take us to his home, to a place that he's prepared, and we'll then live with him. We'll settle in his land and no longer live in the tents that we have today. I want to take an opportunity to pray together out loud. You don't have to pray out loud, as you know, but at least pray quietly with those who are. But maybe you just want to say, you want to make that statement, dwell with me now, Lord Jesus. That's your statement of faith. You don't know what it's going to entail for your life, but today is a day you say, today I want to dwell with you. I want you in my life. Or maybe you do have one of those words of testimony. Today, I remember when God, and you fill in the blank for us. And let's encourage each other. So let's pray. I'll close this off in a little bit. If you want to pray out loud, please do. Or pray quietly along with us. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What you got to do, and he provides for the next day, and the strength, and the energy, and the clarity. I'm in awe and filled with gratitude. Mm-hmm. God, if someone said, God lives with me, they'd maybe put him away in a hospital. But you, Lord Jesus, I promise, you have said that if we believe in you, the Holy Spirit will live with us. God, Holy Spirit, exists and dwells with us. And Lord, there are times I forget that in my actions, in my words, in my very thoughts. But even then, you are gracious. You are loving and correcting. And I can't quite wrap my mind around it, how God, the God of the universe who made all these galaxies and everything, can be here and be with me and be in my heart. But you can do whatever you want. And it's by your grace and by your provision that that's possible, to have a brand new life, a second, a third, a fourth, a hundredth chance, and more. Lord, you are faithful. God, I remember when you brought us through difficult times of issues of health, of loss, even of death. You were faithful. You were there for us. Lord, even of times when we didn't know where to turn. Is a money issue, a health issue, a relationship issue where we didn't see any way out. God, when I see deep-seated stuff in my life and heart, and you have brought me healing and restoration, that's you. I remember that today. I remember that you have, before my brothers and sisters here, and testify of your grace and your work. Thank you. And it's not done. And God, how I longing for the days when you come back and say, come now to our final home, our real home with you. And I pray this in your name. Amen. Remember him this week. Remember what he has done. A few announcements as our worship team comes up. The other week I mentioned an opportunity we're hoping to do with the Believers in Christ or BIC Club at the school. And we're working on it now. It's called a progressive dinner where we go to different homes and or churches and have invited other churches to start with that. So I still don't have details. I just have a date. We're looking at November 15th of when we want to do that. So again, there's still a chance we might not be able to do this, but that's the date we've set. This Saturday, we also have an opportunity we've opened it up to the whole community, just calling it Meet the Candidates. And we will have most of the Carnes City School District candidates that are running for office that we'll be electing on in November. Most of them will be here. There's also a representative from East Brady. There may be some others. They just haven't gotten back to us. But they're going to be here from 10 a.m. to noon. It is an open house. It is not a time to come hear speeches. Hopefully meet, shake hands, ask them questions. And then when you go to vote in November, you at least have a face with that name and what they stand for. Now, I believe me, just don't want at all to tell you how to vote. In fact, I'm going to be meeting these people too. I don't know where they stand on various issues. And so it was, the challenge is for us as believers is to not take our American point of view and smash it back into the scriptures. We want the Bible to inform what is right and good. Does that make sense? And a lot of times people are doing the opposite. They're taking their views today. A quick example. When Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, in Acts 1:8, that's the word dunamis, and it's where we get the word dynamite. So people say, well, God's going to give us dynamite. No. They weren't thinking about dynamite back then. They were thinking about the Holy Spirit power. Same kind of way. We need to look at the scriptures and bring it into our heart. So there are several issues that we're asked to give some biblical points of view. Back on the counter, there's a folder with a purple for Carnes City. Back there with some passages to look at regarding things like identity, the authority of government, parenting, and some others. And I encourage you just to look those up, to study. Maybe there's more. I'm sure there's more about those particular things. I'm not trying to tell you how to think and what to think at all. But if you want to say, I want to know what the scriptures say about what any of these issues, that's a good place to start. And if you have questions about those, please see me or look them up yourselves. But to do your homework as well. All right. So, but I encourage you again, come here. You can come and stay as long as you want. If you want to just come in for 10 minutes, shake a few hands and leave, that's great. Or stay that whole time, whatever. We do have, Amy and I will be here to help with hospitality. If there's someone else, maybe another person, just to make sure we have everything covered. We have no idea. I don't know. This place might be packed. It might be crickets. I have no idea. We've never done this before. But we are making our building available for our community for that purpose. Finally, Living in Liberty, they're doing their monthly prayer walk this Wednesday, and it is in Butler. I won't be able to be there this week. Are you going to be there, Lori? Lori will be there. It's 439 Shore Street. It's written on the whiteboard out there. You pull up there. There's a gazebo and places to park. There's a park there. And then you start walking through the neighborhood and praying for people, sometimes able to interact with them as well. So that is this Wednesday at 4:30 p.m. Let's continue.